Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We'll be reading verses 14 through 17. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Pentecost. The church has never been able to define whether it's an adjective, whether it's a verb. Many in the church insist that the word remain as an adjective, Pentecostal. Churches that place emphasis on demonstration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are called Pentecostal. People who attend these churches are called Pentecostals. A noun, by the way. The church is unwilling for the word to simply be a noun, however, to represent a date, a place, an event in the history of the church. It refuses for it to be simply a memory, an item, something back there somewhere. The church insists that the word is an adjective. It describes the church. The word then is Pentecostal, if we're to accept that. Now, one preacher proclaimed that if the church is alive in the world, it is indeed Pentecostal. Now, does that include Presbyterians? Heaven forbid, right? But it does. Even though we believe in the order and gravity of our worship, we are nonetheless worshiping in the power of the Holy Spirit. As I told the children, you know, there's an energy, there's a life that God breathes into the church. And I have seen that life, I have lived that life in the Presbyterian Church for over 40 years as a pastor. There is life. There are faith-building tongues of fire here in the church. If you don't believe me, I'll call the spirit of my grandmother and she'll talk to you about what tongues of fire really are when it comes to faith. Because she could get mighty fiery in her tongue. But it was all to bring faith and to build faith. The Holy Spirit is moving in our midst with each song we sing, each scripture that we read, every sermon that's preached, and in the tender care that we show for one another. So if that means we're Pentecostal, so be it. We need that life in the church. We need it even more now than ever as the church continues to dwindle in numbers. We need to keep the fire in our hearts, in our minds, in our worship. And the Spirit will do that. The Spirit moves and helps us and interprets. Jesus called the Spirit the helper. And there's so many ways that the Spirit can be our helper, not just in life, but every day. And there the church has received an extraordinary gift from the Holy Spirit. We can't define it, we can't label it, but we experience it here in this place. We've been blessed to have it be a part of this church since the beginning. The Holy Spirit likes life. That's just the Holy Spirit likes to bring life wherever he is, wherever it is. And there's this, the Holy Spirit also has a sense of humor. I was counseling my grandson. He's getting ready to be married this coming October. And he is one of these intellectuals that he's not, I baptized him, so I know he's got the Christian background, and I made sure that he was exposed to the gospel early and often in his growing up years. But he's in college now, and he questions everything, and he wants to debate me about, faith. He asked me, why is it that God allows, some of these crazy things on the earth? And I said, well, it's because God has a sense of humor. And I really believe that God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, has a sense of humor. That when we, when we gather, and, there was this spirit among us that, everything does not need to be so Presbyterian. Here I am, a Presbyterian minister, telling you. But what I mean by that is it doesn't need to be everything so solemn and so sour and dour. There is a joy and a life and a humor. Amen. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you. The Spirit is moving. It exists in us. When you feel that little twinge when you're reading, when you're singing a hymn, or you feel that uplifting of your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. It's working in you and through you. When you have, you're driving down the road and you think about, my friend who's suffering from cancer or heart disease, or maybe is having a rough time in one way or another in life, and you say a little prayer, Lord, please help them out. That's the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you don't even, it's more than a prayer. You say, well, I need to go over and see them face to face. That's the Holy Spirit. And here in the church, I preached about oneness. When we talked about Jesus' high priestly prayer on, this was just Sunday or before last or last Sunday. And if we want to find oneness, where else can you find it but in the Holy Spirit? Think about what happened here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 tells us that those who were converted that day, after Peter preached this wonderful sermon, they were of one accord. That is that oneness we were talking about. Jesus' desire is that all disciples be one. Where? In him. Now, we acknowledged last week that oneness is not something we strive for, but it's something we receive as a gift when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. I likened that gift last week to pianos that are all tuned to the same tuning fork. We are all attuned to Jesus, his teachings, his ministry, and we're joined to all other Christians in the world in a powerful oneness. We also acknowledge that there are times when we allow ourselves to get out of tune, to break with the oneness of the body. And it is here where we find the power of the Holy Spirit again to help us. The Spirit speaks to our spirit, showing us where the brokenness is and moving us toward healing and restoration. The Apostle Paul reminded us that the Holy Spirit interprets our prayers sometimes. Ever been in that situation where the words fail you? You just don't. You need that prayer. You need to pray. You need to reach out to God, but the words just don't come. Don't worry. You can be silent. Direct your heart toward God, and the Holy Spirit will interpret to God the nature of your prayer. And remember what Jesus said also, that wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he will be present. Indeed, Jesus is present right even now through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual power unleashed when we gather around God's word and when we bow our heads before God in prayer. Remember that energy? Talk to the children about the energy that the church so desperately needs right now. That's where we find it. When we gather together, where two or more get together and pray, or perhaps do a mission trip somewhere, or perhaps just visit a friend or pray for a neighbor. And believe it or not, even in session and deacons and presbytery meetings, the Spirit is there. I'm going to share this with you kind of off the cuff. I had a pastor that I was working with ask me one time, you know, who are you? Who are you in the Lord? And I had to call back on one of the most powerful images in my own personal ministry. I was a new minister at my first pastorate. I was a member of the Louisville Presbytery in Louisville, Kentucky. And being new and green, I would go to presbytery meetings and just keep my mouth shut because these people were all had been pastors far longer than I had, and I wanted to be there and just listen and learn. But there was a particular situation, the issue of the ordination of gay people was on the agenda, and there was a terrific debate. There were people, there was some name-calling going on. It was a painful time to be a Presbyterian. As a brand new minister, I thought, is this what I've got to look forward to? But then just down the pew from me, after all of the name-calling and the arguing and fuss that had gone on, an old man, an old pastor who was retired, stood up and he held in his hand a really worn old Bible, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." And he read a portion of scripture that melted the hearts of two really angry groups of people, and they closed the discussion. And in one accord, they made a vote, and they carried through what was God's will for that particular day. And ever since that time, if I'm going to define myself, I want to define myself in terms of that old man, that old preacher who stood up and just simply said, "Thus saith the Lord," and you read the Bible. You know, it's an image that I'll always carry in my heart, as an image of the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. In our text from Romans 8, Paul points out that the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer is the conduit through which the resurrection life of Christ is conveyed to God's people. Now, again, I'm going back to my children's sermon, that the Holy Spirit is the conduit through which the resurrection life, that energy of resurrection, is conveyed to God's people. That life is in this church. It is in each and every one of you. Paul further tells us that through the Holy Spirit, we are made children of God's household. We are adopted. We can say daddy to God. You can actually address God as daddy. Abba, Father. In other words, we have intimate access to the ruler of the universe, and we have the promise that that God, our God, the God who created everything, will hear our prayers with a heart of love, just as a parent hears the talk, or the words of their child through the heart of love. And God wants to hear our prayers. God wants to guide us to abundant life now and throughout eternity. In other words, don't walk away from God. Keep in touch. College students, keep in touch with your God and with your parents and grandparents, by the way. Finally, Paul says we're joint heirs with Christ of the kingdom that God is building here on earth. As heirs with Christ, Paul says, we will experience suffering. Uh-oh, nobody wants to hear that. But wait a minute. If we experience suffering, we are doing it jointly with Christ. And isn't that kind of an honor? And Paul says, but that suffering will lead to glories that we cannot imagine. Struggles and suffering are indeed part of life on this planet. But through the power of God's Spirit, we are no longer citizens of this world, but we're members of the household of the Creator, of our God and Father, who loves us with an everlasting love. To Him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for the coming of the Spirit. Thank you even more for that power, that energy that the Spirit imparts. The church needs it so much right now. As you know, the church is reaching, declining in places that we never would have imagined. And we're worried. Yet our faith tells us that Christ promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So inspire us, empower us by the Holy Spirit, and raise your church up once again in that same power. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.